Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. I remember it was one of those very dark mornings. You know the kind of morning, well, some of you may know if you happen to be inclined to get up well before it gets light and to traipse around the woods. You know what it's like on those mornings when there's no moon, there's no shadows, it is absolutely pitch black. I was walking to my tree stand one particular morning, and it was a path I'd walked countless times before. I had known every step, every twist, every turn of that path. And suddenly, I began to realize that things didn't look familiar. There were trees where I didn't remember trees being. There was a grove of pines to my left that wasn't supposed to be on my left. It was supposed to be on my right. And I realized that I was lost. In the dark, I had lost my way. I could see. My eyes were open. I could make out shapes. But there was a part of me that was still blind, and I found myself lost and wandering around the woods, having to wait until it was light enough to finally make my way to my destination. And not that it matters, but I didn't see many deer that day either. It wasn't a good day all the way around. Well, we come to Mark again this morning. After a few weeks of talking about stewardship, we come back to Mark and the continuing stories that we've been hearing since late summer of healings and of Jesus telling his disciples about his impending betrayal and crucifixion and resurrection. We come face to face with another healing in the Gospel of Mark this morning, another in a long line of healings. Mark seems intent upon portraying Jesus as a healer. Now, I think we like healing stories, at least I do, because on some level, we all have something we want to be healed from. Something resonates with us when Jesus reaches into someone's life and heals them. And Mark satisfies our desire for healing stories from Jesus. Simon's mother-in-law with the fever, you might remember that one. The leper in Galilee. The paralytic man who was so cared for by his friends that he was lowered through the roof. The man with the withered hand. The Gerasene demoniac, you remember the one with those poor pigs that ended up with the demons and ran themselves into the lake? And even before Jesus started all this talk about having to be betrayed and crucified and resurrected, we had the first blind man healed back a few chapters earlier in Mark. But now we come to this blind beggar, and I asked myself this morning, why? Why another healing? I mean, don't we get the picture yet? Jesus was a healer. Jesus had power. He had some mysterious connection with God. He was able to do things that most people couldn't do. He was able to do great things, not just healings, but other miracles. But it seems like Mark was focusing on healings. As I was reading in preparation for the sermon, I found myself saying, all right, Mark, we get it. Jesus was a good healer. And so then I had to ask myself, why this story? Why this healing story? Why another story, especially not a different kind of healing, but another story of Jesus healing the blind? The interesting thing about the two blind healing stories in Mark is that they bookend Jesus' predictions of his death. And in between, we see the disciples not getting it, showing their own blindness to Jesus' teachings, to Jesus' mission, to what he was saying about himself. And so, what's new about this healing that might give us a little glimpse into what Mark was trying to say? I think the first thing we can say is that this is more than about the physical regaining of sight. There's a lot of blindness going on in this passage, in this whole section in Mark. The 12 disciples keep not getting what Jesus is telling them, even to the point where Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. You have the 12 arguing about which one of them is the greatest. You have, after talking about being like a child. You have them shooing away children that were coming to Jesus. You have James and John arguing about who's going to sit on the left or on the right. The people in this section of Mark are no better. The rich man is blind to the role his wealth plays in his desire to follow God. The people try to keep even our blind man this morning from coming to Jesus and from asking him for help. But then we have the blind man, Bartimaeus. Mark doesn't just give us his name. He doesn't just say Bartimaeus, which, if you may or may not know, means son of Timaeus, but he repeats himself. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. I had to ask, why does Mark tell us twice? Now, some people think that the reason he has a name at all, which is unique, is because he was the only one of those who were healed who were seen to follow Jesus after their healing. But there's another idea out there. I don't know how many of you know ancient classical literature, but Plato wrote these things called dialogues. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know they exist. And he had one called Timaeus. And it was a story about, it was a dialogue about the physical world and about the way the world was. It was an idea of the philosophy of the world, about how the world was structured and put together, about the way things are. And it's almost as if in this story, Mark is not only giving us his name, Bartimaeus, but he's saying, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus, a follower of the philosophies of this world. A man who was blind to what God was doing. A man who was blind to the ways of God. A man who was putting his trust and his faith in the philosophies of this world. We have Mark telling us that this son of Timaeus was blind. Now, it could just be that he was physically blind, which the story tells us he was. But maybe Mark was making a deeper point. Maybe that's why Mark included a second story about another blind man. Maybe it's why he put it at the end of all these stories about the disciples and other people being blind to the ways of Jesus. Because in this story, we have Jesus reaching down and giving someone their sight back. But I don't think it's just that he got his physical sight. I think in some way, in Jesus touching the life of this man, he began to see things differently than he'd seen him before. This son of Timaeus, this son of the philosophies of this world, began to get a glimpse that maybe things weren't as he previously thought they were. Jesus comes in contrast to the ways of this world. We do think of Jesus' physical healing, preaching good news to the poor, releasing captives, recovering of sight to the blind. But Jesus doesn't just come to heal people physically. Jesus doesn't just come to give sight. He comes to open eyes. And I think there's a difference. He doesn't just come that the sick may be healed or the blind seeing or the cripple walking. He comes to open eyes to the way things really are. Jesus didn't come just to help Bartimaeus see. He comes to help us see. To see that it is the poor in spirit who are blessed. To help us see that it is the first who will be last and the last first. To help us see that it is the last, the least, and the lost who have God's attention the most. Yes, Bartimaeus received his sight this morning, but I also think Mark was telling us something else. For all those people that have been blind previously and all the stories leading up to this, even the 12 that were the closest to Jesus, Jesus has the ability to open our eyes and to help us see. But there's something else about this story that doesn't make it just a regular story of Jesus healing someone with a physical ailment. You may not have ever picked up on this before, but how many of you think the appropriate response to Jesus healing you would be to be disobedient. Anybody ever see that? And yet that's what Bartimaeus is. Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well. And what does the text tell us Bartimaeus did? He didn't go. He followed Jesus. He stayed. Not the response of someone that was thankful for being healed. But again, I think Mark is trying to tell us something. Mark is holding up Bartimaeus as someone who is different. A story not just about a blind man being healed, but a story about a man who not only had his eyes opened to who Jesus was, but by having his eyes open, decided that just going his own way wasn't enough, that he had to follow in the way of Jesus. A pastor tells the story about a sixth grade Sunday school class he was teaching. Now, I've substituted in schools, and every age has its challenge, but I found sixth graders to be particularly difficult, as well as this pastor did. And I don't think this is a story that would surprise anybody that's had sixth graders. The pastor was telling them in vivid detail about the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus, how the soldiers had carried him away, how Pilate and the people had conspired to do Jesus in. And a hand went up. The pastor said if a hand went up at an inopportune time with a difficult question, it was always going to be Bradford. Bradford was this little sixth grade boy. And so the pastor, like he always did, said, yes, Bradford, what is it now? Because it was always something with Bradford. I want to know, where was the rest of them? The rest of who? The pastor answered. Them disciples. Where was they when things got rough for Jesus? Oh, the disciples, the pastor replied, they were long gone. They were out hiding. They were afraid for their own life. No, not those disciples, Bradford persisted. Where were they? Whatever became of all of them that he helped, the ones that he healed? Now, they had two good legs to walk on now and two good eyes to see. Where was they when the soldiers took Jesus away? I don't really know, Bradford, the pastor answered. Well, I'll tell you where they were, he said. They was just like most folks. They got what they wanted, and now they was gone. When I heard that story, I thought of the old phrase, out of the mouths of babes. Because a lot of times, there's a lot of truth to what Bradford said. But Bartimaeus was different. This passage is really a pivot in the story of Mark. A pivot of Jesus doing ministry. A story of Jesus teaching his disciples about what was to come and them not getting it. But finally, we have somebody that gets it, somebody that follows Jesus and doesn't just follow Jesus. Mark says specifically, he follows Jesus on the way. And the next passage in Mark is the story of the triumphal entry, the beginning of the end for Jesus, the beginning of the fulfillment of his predictions of his suffering, death, and resurrection. I think maybe what Mark was trying to tell us this morning is that Jesus isn't just about healing. He's about opening eyes. And he isn't just about making our lives better. He isn't just about fixing what's wrong in our lives or overcoming the obstacles that we encounter or removing our hardship or the things that we don't like about our lives. But Jesus is about being followed. Once his sight was restored, Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. 14 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. 14 miles of following Jesus, not into the philosophies of this world, but into God's kingdom. Into a place where somehow suffering makes sense. Into a place where bad things sometimes happen to good people, where senseless suffering can overtake any of us, where the powerful will protect their privilege even at someone else's expense, and where sooner or later all of us die. That's the way that Bartimaeus followed Jesus into. And yet we, like Jesus or like Bartimaeus, have all been touched. And in some way, we too have chosen to follow Jesus. We too have chosen that being touched, being healed, having our eyes opened was not enough, but that we have chosen to follow. Really, I think this is a story of salvation. Not just the story of Bartimaeus' salvation, but of each of ours. We meet Jesus, our eyes are open, and we follow. Jesus didn't just come to heal. He came to touch our lives in such a way that the ways of this world suddenly don't make sense. And once our eyes are opened, it seems like the only response we can have is to follow in the steps of Bartimaeus in following Jesus, in going the way that he's going. I think sometimes people in this world are more like Samuel Beckett's play, Waiting for Godot, because it's easy for us to talk about following. It's easy for us to say and to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Okay, I guess it's time for me to bring this sermon to a close, apparently. But it's not just enough to talk about it. And maybe that's the beauty of this passage, is Bartimaeus didn't just say thank you. He didn't just say, Jesus, you are the Son of God. He actually took steps. The ending of Samuel Beckett's play, Waiting for Godot, goes something like this. The closing dialogue ends with this. Vladimir, one of the characters, says, shall we go? And Estragon, the other character, says, let's go. And then no one moves. Let's resolve this morning to not be those who just talk about following Jesus, but let's continue in the way we have chosen, one step at a time, step after step, following in the way Jesus has laid out for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.